Get an in-depth look at sports from our resident Big Poll. The Blitz with Justin Pawlowski. Saturdays at noon on the Sports Animal. 620 WDAE.
Thanks again for clicking on over to JoeBucksFan.com. I am Justin Pawlowski, and thanks for joining us for our 2010 draft coverage right here at JoeBucksFan.com. Today, I want to take a look at my mock draft and the Buccaneers in particular, as this obviously JoeBucksFan.com. A lot of Bucks fans will be looking at this site, so I do want to not defend myself, but explain why I went with certain players where I did. I think first round, when you look at the third overall pick, there's two different ways I've gone about my drafts this year, because I always have people asking me, are you picking players that you think are going to be selected, or are you picking players that you would select? Well, I wanted to give you an example of both this year. The initial pick, the pick that is in bold, the main pick next to the number is who I think will be selected. Those are, you know, you take into account who's making the picks, who's in charge of making the picks, who's the general manager, who's the head coach, the scouting departments, the owner, what needs a team has. Does a team, and you look at the draft history of each team, does a team draft for need? Do they draft best player available? A good example of that, I think, is the Baltimore Ravens. You look at teams that are successful in the draft, usually don't just draft for need. On the flip side of that, you look at a team like the Oakland Raiders, and you have to take into account that they're big on speed. They're big on combine guys, guys that show up well at the combine but might not show up well on film. So I take all of that into account when I predict who I think they will take. Underneath, of course, you'll see the commish's pick. That's who I would select. And if I was general manager of said team, that's who I would select if I was the general manager of that team. And we'll start first with the third pick in the draft for the Buccaneers. And I don't see the Bucs being able to pass on the first guy I have. Now, I had Sam Bradford going first. There's been rumors that Bulger's cleaned out his locker. They said every player does that. It does still look like Mark Bulger's done in St. Louis. If they want to risk it, they can pass on a quarterback in the first round. They can pass on Bradford or Clausen, try and get Colt McCoy, Dan LeFever, maybe Tony Pike later on in the draft. However, it's a big risk, and you have the opportunity to get the best quarterback in the draft. With a new owner coming in, you've already got big-time money locked into Chris Long, who was the third overall pick just a couple of years ago, and Adam Carriker, who was the 13th overall pick the year before Chris Long came out in 2008. Carriker came out in 2007. It's a lot of money invested in the defensive line, not to mention you don't have a quarterback. With that new owner coming in, obviously, who's going to fill that stadium up more? Is it going to be Ndamukong Suh or Gerald McCoy at the defensive tackle position, still building a defensive line, or could it be a new quarterback and a new face of the franchise? That's why I went with Sam Bradford, number one overall. Ndamukong Suh, much better fit for the Lions than Gerald McCoy. Remember Jim Schwartz coming over from Tennessee, had Albert Haynesworth there. He likes defensive linemen that are strong and physical. I think Ndamukong Suh fits that much better than Gerald McCoy, and that's why I went Gerald McCoy for the Buccaneers, a three technique. He's the under tackle in a Tampa 2 defense, played the same position as Warren Sapp, not the same player as Warren Sapp, 6'4", much taller player, but very good at penetrating, very good at one gap. If you give him one gap to control, he does a very good job at that, and he can get penetration and disrupt plays in the backfield, whether they be running plays or whether they be passing plays. The commish's pick on this is different. Now, I went with the two defensive linemen with the first two picks. The reason I went Gerald McCoy number one to the Rams, by the way, is because if you already have Carriker and Chris Long, who are the stronger, more physical defensive linemen, maybe you want to get a different type of defensive tackle in there to go next to Adam Carriker, and you're not just having another Another guy that fits that same mold, which I think Ndamukong Suh fits that same mold. Well, you're going to have the same type of defensive lineman all up and down the defensive line. I don't know. I personally would want to change it up. That's why when I'm the GM, I'm going to take Gerald McCoy. The Lions, I do go with Ndamukong Suh. He fits what my coach, and as general manager, I still want to get reaction and try and draft the type of player that my coach would like to use, and Ndamukong Suh would be that guy. Then for the Bucs, this was the big decision. And I've seen a lot of people going with Eric Berry, and as a general manager, I'm looking at my team, and the best general managers balance need with best player available. Now, you look at Eric Berry. He is a safety. The Buccaneers already have Tanard Jackson. They have Sabby Piscitelli, who they just drafted in the second round a couple years ago. Is Raheem Morris ready to give up on Sabby Piscitelli? Probably not. He had a hand in drafting Sabby Piscitelli. A safety coming in at the third slot. I still think that's pretty high for a safety as best player available. And also, Eric Berry is a much similar player to Tanard Jackson, so you're going to have two free safeties playing in the back when usually you want maybe one, at least one safety that can come up and be better in run support. And I don't know if Eric Berry can be that, and I don't know if Tanard Jackson, now they can be ball hawks. They can be all over the field in the defensive backfield. They can cover anyone. But can they come up and support the run? I don't know if they can that much, and it's iffy for me, and that's why I kind of eliminated Eric Berry for the time being from my thought process. And really, my decision came down to two players. And no, one of them wasn't Russell Okung, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma State. I don't know if the Bucs even need an offensive tackle. Why? You have Donald Penn, you have Jeremy Trueblood. I'm not going to sit here and draft a tackle and then try and trade one of my... No, it's not going to happen. Teams are going to laugh at you. So I look at the needs of my team and I look at the players available. And two of the top players that I see available that fit needs for me, and defensive end could be one of them, Jason Pierre-Paul scares me. Upside, potential. Only played 1 year in really high-end college football for USF. I'm not saying he reminds me of Gaines Adams, but a lot of that talk reminds me of Gaines Adams. And the third overall pick to take a guy who has potential, that would worry me. Derek Morgan's more of a run stopper at defensive end. Same thing with Carlos Dunlap, so I don't know about the defensive end position. Talked about the offensive tackles. I look at these two players. Dez Bryant being one. Huge need at wide receiver for the Buccaneers. Huge. Dez Bryant is one of the players I'm considering. Rolando McClain at middle linebacker is the other. Barrett Rood, I understand, lots of tackles. Go back, watch the film. How many tackles did Barrett Rood have beyond 5 yards of the line of scrimmage? I'd say 90% of his tackles were beyond 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's inexcusable as a middle linebacker. I want to get more physical. As a general manager, remember, this is the commish's pick. I want to get more physical, and I want to stop the frickin' run for once. We can blame the defensive tackles. We can blame the middle linebacker. We can blame the safety. You have to be strong up the middle to stop the run. These teams aren't beating the Bucs outside. They're beating the Bucs right up the middle, and it's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. So Dez Bryant, and now I'm going to look at my board. What do we have? All right, we have a middle linebacker, Rolando McClain, 6'4", 260 pounds, has speed, can get deep in the Tampa 2, but was also a tremendous leader for Alabama's national championship defense. A national championship defense was a big-time leader for them and spent mega amounts of time in the film room studying so he could be a better leader on the field in practice and in the game. You're killing two birds with one stone here. Think about it. Everyone said Barrett Rood was going to be the leader of the defense. He really wasn't the leader of the defense last year. So you need a leader on the defensive side of the ball, And you need some physical play in the middle linebacker position. I think you're killing two birds with one stone there. Now I look at the wide receiver position, and although Dez Bryant is a phenomenal talent and would be a great addition, and trust me, Rolando McClain and Dez Bryant are neck and neck. But I look at the depth at receiver this year. Not a lot in the first round, but all of a sudden you get to round two and you have guys like Golden Tate and Aurelius Benn and Demaryius Thomas and Marty Gilliard. You have Josh Shipley. You have Brandon LaFell. There's a lot of receivers this year, much like a couple years ago when 10 receivers went in the second round. We could see something similar to that this year. I don't know if 10 will go in the second round, but we're going to see a good amount of receivers going in the second round this year. And with the Bucs having two second round picks, I feel as general manager that I can get one of those players, an Aurelius Benn, a Golden Tate, one of those types of players, either at the top of the second round or wait till my second round pick and maybe get a guy like Marty Gilliard, who could be a big help to Josh Freeman. So I see the depth there, and I weigh it, and I decide that I want to get a leader on the defensive side of the ball. My head coach is a defensive-minded coach, and I think we need some of that leadership ability on the defensive side of the ball, and I think you look at a guy like Rolando McClain, and he can step in and play right away. I all of a sudden open up my phone, and I start calling teams. I start calling the New York Giants. I call the Philadelphia Eagles. I call teams that might have a need for a middle linebacker and see if they'd be willing to part ways with their second-round pick for Barrett Rood, and all of a sudden I end up with three second-round picks. I do not predict trades in my mock drafts. I think it is it's impossible. You can't predict trades in a mock draft. You can give options, and those would be options for the Buccaneers. I mean, as a general manager, I'd love to squeeze a first-round pick out of either of those teams for Barrett Rood. But if I can get Rolando McClain and still get a second-round pick in return for Barrett Rood, I'm feeling pretty good, especially with a deep draft this year. We skip ahead to the Bucs' first second-round pick. Remember, I skipped on Dez Bryant with my first pick. With the first pick, there's two first-round picks, the commission's pick and the original pick. The original pick was Gerald McCoy, so I filled the defensive tackle position. Both of my picks for the first second-round pick are the same. Aurelius Benn, out of Illinois, wide receiver. I wrote down size and speed you want from a number one receiver, needs to be more consistent. Was it his fault at being inconsistent, or was it the quarterback's play? I'm starting, you know, I'm doing my research and watching him, and then, you know, hearing guys like, some of the big time guys who cover the draft, Gil Brandt from NFL.com. And he says that Aurelius Benn is an outstanding talent at receiver, and the only reason he was inconsistent was because Juice Williams was his quarterback. Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. 6'2", 225, 230 pounds, has tons of speed, catches the ball with his hands away from his body. I like this guy as a receiver. I think he could be a number one receiver. That's why I went with him in both of my picks here as the guy who I think the Bucs will go with and who I think the Bucs should go with my commission's pick. A big reason I went with Aurelius Benn. We'll see. There's a possibility there at the end of the first round, Baltimore Ravens, New York Jets. We could see wide receivers go. However, I really like Aurelius Benn, and if he does fall, as is predicted in my mock draft, I would select him 35th overall. The Buccaneers' second-round pick is 42nd overall. Remember, with my commission's pick, I've gone Rolando McClain, inside linebacker, and wide receiver Aurelius Benn, who I predict what will happen. Gerald McCoy fell to the Buccaneers at 3. I also went with Aurelius Benn, is who I think the Buccaneers will select. We'll start with that selection. And with the 42nd pick, since the Buccaneers have already gotten Gerald McCoy and they've gotten a wide receiver in Aurelius Benn, I still see a need along the defensive line, not so much a defensive tackle, but maybe at a defensive end. And a defensive end at a Northwestern, big guy, 6'7", 280 pounds, going to be more of a left end, more of a run stopper, but very strong and very physical. Could also be a defensive end in a 3-4. And that's Corey Wooton out of Northwestern. Once again, he's got tremendous strength. Doesn't have really a big array of pass rushing moves. I just didn't feel comfortable taking Greg Hardy here. I don't see a lot of defensive ends still on the board that I'd want to really take a big risk in drafting. Now, I did take a little bit of a look at Ricky Sapp coming out of Clemson. He's a defensive end, outside linebacker, really a hybrid that's going to play the outside linebacker in a 3-4. He just wasn't big enough for me. Coming off the edge in a 4-3, 245 pounds. I just thought that was too undersized to be willing to take him as a defensive end for the Buccaneers when I think they need more solid players. And to get a big guy like Corey Wooton with the strength he has to play that left end, and all of a sudden you still platoon guys like Styles White, Jimmy Wilkerson, and last year's fourth-round pick, Kyle Moore, and see if any of them can pick up the slack there at the right defensive end position. The commission's pick for the 42nd pick overall, I did go Rolando McClain and Aurelius Ben, so I haven't even addressed the defensive line yet, and that you have to address the defensive line in this draft. So I'm getting a little worried as general manager, and I do see a guy on the board that I got to see firsthand against USF last year. He has dealt with some injury problems which worry me, but when he was healthy, especially against that game against USF in that game, he was dominant at times, and he played the nose tackle position, really shot gaps well, got penetration, got into the backfield, disrupted plays. Coming out of Syracuse, I like our Arthur Jones. Once again, injuries are going to force him to drop. How far is he going to drop? I don't know. During the season, there was times when people considered him a first-round pick, and he might have first-round talent, but the durability issues are going to make him drop. How far? I don't know. I have him going right now mid-second. There have been some reports that he might fall all the way to the third round. And if that's the case and the Bucs pass on him in the second round, if you can get him at the top of the third, that'd be incredible. But in this situation, I don't know if I'm willing to take that risk. I get Arthur Jones to come in, be my defensive tackle of the future, be able to be into that mix, pair him with Roy Miller. All of a sudden at the defensive tackle position, I'm feeling pretty confident about myself and still able to get maybe a defensive end in round three, maybe a Greg Hardy falls to round three there, or one of the other defensive ends. Or maybe I wait till the fourth round and I take a guy like George Selvey and maybe go corner or safety in round number three. So there's my description and breakdown of why I chose certain players for the Bucs in this mock draft. I'll try and do that for each of my mock drafts coming out, just so you kind of get a better understanding of where I was coming from. And, I like this format too. You're really getting two mock drafts for the price of one. But, you know, everyone has that idea of what I would do if I was general manager. And I just wanted to put that down on paper so you could see maybe where I was coming from with my picks. All right, that's going to do it for this Rough Draft podcast. And I do hope you continue to come back and join us here as the continuing draft coverage goes on throughout draft season. Remember, we're going all the way through the draft and into May as we break down each and every portion of this great draft that we're going to have. It's going to be very exciting as we lead all the way up till May, and we break it all down for you here at JoeBucksFan.com. Don't forget to email me your questions. We're going to start this upcoming Wednesday with our Rough Draft email bag segment. So make sure you join us for that. And don't stop believing, because the NFL draft, I firmly believe, and I'm holding up my right hand now, that's how you build a team. And even the worst of teams can luck in to Hall of Famers. So don't stop believing. The Buccaneers could be one of those teams. We will catch up with you. Don't forget to tune in every Saturday to my show at noon on 620 WDAE. And don't forget to check back for all of your draft needs and draft coverage, both at 620WDAE.com, keyword draft, and right here at JoeBucksFan.com.
For the fans.
I love sports, and it's obviously the best and only sports talk in this area that is honest and legit.
By the fans.
It's extremely interactive.
620
WDAE, the number one station.
The sports animal.